Good morning and welcome to Simply Space. It's Thursday, April 18th. On today's show, NASA chief warns of China's secretive space militarization and urges an accelerated moon mission. Plus, we'll explore how space junk is causing chaos back on Earth. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with a stark warning from NASA Chief Bill Nelson to U.S. lawmakers about China's secretive space militarization efforts. Nelson testified before the House Appropriations Committee, emphasizing the urgent need for the U.S. to accelerate its moon missions amid fears that China could stake territorial claims on the lunar surface. Here with more details is our Simply Space correspondent. What did Nelson specifically say about China's space ambitions?
Nelson pulled no punches in his assessment of China's space program. He told lawmakers that while China has made extraordinary strides in space over the past decade, especially on the civilian side, much of that progress is shrouded in secrecy. Nelson believes that a significant portion of China's ostensibly civilian space initiatives are actually military in nature. He framed it starkly as a race between the U.S. and China for dominance in space.
That's a serious allegation. Did Nelson provide any specific examples or evidence to back up his claims about China's military objectives in space?
Nelson did not provide concrete examples in his public testimony. However, he stressed his deep concern that if China were to reach the moon first, they could suddenly declare it as their sovereign territory and attempt to exclude other nations. Nelson argued that it is absolutely critical for the U.S. to maintain its global edge in space and not let down its guard against China's space ambitions, which he sees as lacking transparency and potentially hostile.
How does this warning from the NASA chief impact America's own plans for lunar exploration, specifically the Artemis program?
Nelson's testimony underscores the urgency behind NASA's Artemis program, which aims to return humans to the moon for the first time in over half a century. The recent postponement of the Artemis 3 crewed lunar landing to 2026 takes on added significance in light of the perceived threat from China. Beyond the initial moon landings, Artemis has the long-term goal of establishing a permanent base on the lunar surface. This would serve as a stepping stone for future missions to Mars and cementing America's leadership in space exploration.
Did Nelson express any hope for a more cooperative relationship with China in space, or does he see their ambitions as inherently threatening?
Nelson did say that he hopes China's space program will come to its senses and embrace the peaceful uses of space. However, he added that the U.S. has not yet seen China demonstrate a commitment to that principle. The NASA chief's testimony paints a picture of deep skepticism and mistrust towards China's goals in space, seeing them as a potential adversary rather than a partner. It sets the stage for an intensifying space race in the years ahead, with the moon as the immediate flashpoint.
Sobering insights from NASA Administrator Bill Nelson. It's clear that the stakes are high as the U.S. and China jockey for position in the new space race. We'll be sure to keep a close eye on developments in the Artemis program and any further indications of China's intentions on the final frontier. Speaking of space-related incidents, a Florida man recently had a close call when a piece of a NASA spacecraft crashed through his roof, narrowly missing his son. This incident, along with the uncontrolled re-entry of a European Space Agency satellite into the ocean, has raised concerns about the growing problem of space junk. For more on this, we turn to our Simply Space correspondent. So tell us, just how much space junk is orbiting the Earth right now?
The amount of space debris is staggering. According to Moriba Jha, an astrodynamicist and space environmentalist, we currently track about 50,000 objects in orbit, ranging in size from a cell phone to a space station. But here's the kicker. Just over 5,000 of those objects are actually functional. Everything else is essentially garbage floating around in space.
That's a lot of junk. How did we get to this point where there's so much debris in orbit?
It's really been a gradual accumulation over decades of space exploration and satellite launches. In the early days of the space race, there wasn't much thought given to what happens to satellites and rocket stages after they've served their purpose. They were often just left in orbit to eventually fall back to Earth on their own. But as more and more countries and private companies have gotten involved in space, the number of objects in orbit has skyrocketed.
And I understand this space junk poses some serious risks, not just to people on the ground, but also to functioning satellites and spacecraft. Can you explain those dangers?
Absolutely. Even small pieces of debris can cause catastrophic damage if they collide with a satellite or spacecraft at orbital speeds. And the more junk there is in orbit, the higher the chances of those collisions happening. It's a snowball effect. Each collision can create even more debris, further increasing the risks. There are also concerns about large objects like dead satellites re-entering the atmosphere in an uncontrolled way, as we saw with the ESA satellite recently. While most debris does burn up on re-entry, larger pieces can survive and pose a danger to people and property on the ground.
So what can be done to address this growing problem of space junk? Are there any efforts underway to clean up our orbital environment?
There are a number of initiatives and proposals being explored. Some focus on actively removing existing debris from orbit, using things like nets, harpoons, or even lasers to capture or deorbit the junk. Others are looking at ways to prevent future debris, such as designing satellites to automatically deorbit themselves at the end of their lifespans. Improved tracking and cataloging of space objects is also critical. Moriba Jha actually founded a company called Privateer Space that is working to create the first comprehensive database of objects in orbit to help enable better space traffic management. But it's a complex challenge that will require international cooperation and a real commitment from all spacefaring nations to solve.
Thanks for the insights on the growing risks posed by space junk in orbit. And speaking of space, astronomers using the James Webb Space Telescope have made a surprising discovery about a cold brown dwarf. The telescope's latest observations revealed methane emission on this celestial body, which is unexpected given its frigid and isolated nature. Here with more details is our space correspondent. So what exactly did the James Webb Telescope find?
Well, David, the James Webb Space Telescope was observing a dozen cold brown dwarfs as part of a project led by Jackie Faherty, a senior scientist at the American Museum of Natural History. One of these objects, known as W1935, exhibited methane emissions, something that has never been seen before on a brown dwarf. Methane gas is expected to be present on giant planets and brown dwarfs, but it's usually seen absorbing light, not glowing. This emission, along with evidence of a temperature inversion in the atmosphere, suggests that W1935 may be capable of generating aurora similar to those we see on Earth, Jupiter, and Saturn.
That's fascinating. But brown dwarfs are isolated objects, correct? They don't orbit stars like planets do. So what could be causing these aurorae?
Right, that's the big mystery. Aurorae on planets are usually caused by interactions between high-energy particles from the Sun and the planet's magnetic field. But W1935 doesn't have a host star, so the solar wind can't be contributing to the process. One intriguing possibility the researchers proposed is that W1935 might have an active, undiscovered moon orbiting it. The interactions between the brown dwarf and this hypothetical moon could potentially generate the aurorae.
It's amazing how much we're still learning about the universe thanks to advanced telescopes like James Webb. What other implications could this discovery have?
Well, it opens up a whole new realm of possibilities for brown dwarf research. As Jackie Faherty said, every time an astronomer points the James Webb telescope at an object, there's a chance for a mind-blowing new discovery. Methane emission wasn't even on their radar when they started this project, but now that they know it can exist and the explanation is so enticing, astronomers will be on the lookout for it more often. It's a great example of how a single observation can unexpectedly move science forward in exciting new directions.
Incredible stuff. I'm sure astronomers will be eagerly following up on this discovery to learn more about W1935 and to see if they can spot similar methane emissions on other brown dwarfs. Thanks for breaking this down for us. And speaking of space exploration, NASA is now seeking input from the aerospace community to help prioritize its technology development investments for future missions. The agency's Space Technology Mission Directorate has identified nearly 190 space technology shortfalls or needs that it wants feedback on. Here with more details is our Simply Space correspondent. So what exactly is NASA looking for input on?
NASA is casting a wide net here, looking for feedback on a range of critical technologies. This includes things like cryogenic fluid management, which is essential for storing and handling supercold propellants in space. They're also interested in additive manufacturing, or 3D printing, which could enable on-demand production of spare parts and structures in space. Advanced propulsion systems are another key area, as well as technologies for utilizing resources found on other planets or asteroids. Even something as fundamental as thermal management, or controlling temperatures in the harsh environment of space, is on NASA's list of technology needs.
It sounds like NASA is really trying to collaborate with industry and academia on this. How will they be gathering all this feedback?
NASA will be holding virtual meetings over the next month to collect input from stakeholders across industry, academia, and government. The goal is to create a final, prioritized list of technology shortfalls that represents the consensus of the broader aerospace community. NASA will then assess its current technology development efforts against this list to guide future investment decisions and identify areas that may need more attention or resources.
What's driving this more open and collaborative approach from NASA?
Kurt Vogel, NASA's Associate Administrator for Space Technology, said that while the agency is already developing many critical technologies, shifting to a more open and collaborative approach will allow them to better prioritize efforts and align with key stakeholder needs. He emphasized that this will help ensure NASA and its partners get the most value out of their technology investments. It's a recognition that NASA can't do it all alone, and that leveraging the expertise and innovation of the private sector and academia will be key to tackling the immense technological challenges of future space exploration.
It will definitely be fascinating to see what comes out of NASA's feedback process and how it shapes their technology priorities moving forward. Thanks for that report. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.